This is where business ideas and passions turn into profit. Whether you're dreaming of becoming your own boss, but don't know how to get started, or have already started a side hustle and wish to grow it exponentially, your host, Victoria Wick, can help you turn your passion-based business ideas into profit. Welcome to Million Dollar Passion. Here is your host, world-renowned jewelry designer and home shopping TV celebrity, Victoria Wick.
Welcome to another episode of the Million Dollar Passion podcast. So this is a special series where I discuss my own journey to entrepreneurship, my own journey to how I started with nothing, literally with under just a few hundred dollars to building my eventual empire. And many, many of you have requested that I do that, that you want to hear how I did it and whether or not I could share my own personal journey with you. So here we are. This is week two. I try to make it very doable for everybody. And I do believe that every single person listening to the sound of my voice can achieve their dream life. And their dream life could be just becoming a multimillionaire, or it could be somebody who has all that plus having an amazing family life and building back the community that you live in and impacting the world in a positive way. So anyway, dream big and let's go on this. So this is week two. So if you haven't listened to last week's episode, it's really about defining the dream. So this whole series is about the Do It Now system, which is basically, I broke it down to seven steps: defining your dream, defining your opportunity, the biggest opportunity, igniting that big idea within you, target finding your target audience, and then how to negotiate everything with your employees, your landlord, your customers, everybody else that is in your ecosystem, and then how to optimize that opportunity and how to monetize basically your opportunity, and then how to win the game. So it's called the Do It Now system. So this is still within that first defining your dream phase, because a lot of people basically have a dream. I want to leave my horrible boss. I'm going to ditch the commute. I want to make a lot of money. I want to work half the amount of time. All of that is great, but you got to start to learn how to set goals that will cause you to be able to achieve that. Okay. So setting goals so that you have a reasonable guarantee that your goals will come true. And there's a real trick to this. And I've kind of walked through this, you know, myself. So this episode is all about setting your goals based on the dream that you have defined last week. Okay. So if you have not listened to last week's episode, please go back and listen to it, because it's very important that you go through this in an order. There's only seven steps, so it's very doable. So first of all, I want to kind of differentiate how you're normally taught to set goals. Like if you go to MBA school, if you do a lot of digital learning, there's all these buzzwords about how you set your goals and all that. And I've done all that. What I found out was that in the MBA school system or any other marketing guru's special system, you're really taught how to plug into a corporate world, how to plug into a marketing department, how to plug into a system that's already in existing, and then you kind of survive in that. If you're on your own, you're an entrepreneur, you don't have a chance to make a bunch of mistakes on somebody else's dime. You basically make the mistakes on your own dime. So it's really important that you learn how to set goals so that you succeed, you know, with very low risks, monetary risk, and also time risk. It's one thing to lose the money you invest, but then also to give it your all and then not make any money. That's kind of a double whammy in a real bad way. So I didn't have parents who could support me. I didn't have colleagues. I didn't have anybody. No one would give me a loan. So I kind of had to do it on my own. Very risk-free, low risk, but high chance of succeeding. So let's get to this, okay? So this goal setting system is called SMART system. And there's some version of this is out there, but I have my own way, which is a slightly different version. So SMART, S-M-A-A-R-T, stands for specific, be very specific, and make sure it's measurable, and then make sure it's achievable. It's very important that you find something that's achievable or attainable, and then be accountable. Somebody has to account for the goals you set. If you don't meet those goals, you got to hold yourself accountable or have a system where somebody will remind you, hey, you didn't do this, so you got to go back and kind of try harder to meet that. And then I also want to say the goals that you set must be repeatable. So it's not a one-off. So if you set a goal this month, you want to make 20 grand and you make it, but you did this at the expense of last month's income and next month's income. You just gave everybody discounts. You did all you can, and it's not repeatable next month. That's not sustainable. So make sure that it's repeatable. And then the last thing is make sure it can be done in a timely manner. So when you say, I want to make, let's say $100,000 this year with my side hustle, this year is a time sensitive thing. It's not, I want to make 100,000 some year. It could be 10 years from now. It could be 20 years from now. Those things don't count. So let's go back to my way of calling smart system goal. Number one, what do I mean when I say be specific? When you set your goal last week about defining your American dream, you want to work less, you want to spend more time with your family, you want to take care of everybody around you, you want to have the financial means to take care of everybody around you. It could be your neighbor, your parents, your sisters, you know, whoever. And you want to do it in your own way, doing something that you love to do. So these are your goals, right? But then if you break it down, be very specific. So in my own case, back in 1989, that's when I started my company. I worked for somebody else for several years before that. And I realized that the lifestyle I was living was not attainable, meaning that I was commuting 90 minutes to work each way. And I was working somewhere between 10 to 15 hours a day, depending on the stress level that my boss had. So that wasn't sustainable. I was not going to be a healthy employee. I was coming to work mostly exhausted. On weekends, I slept pretty much sleep deprived during the weeks I slept. So that was not sustainable. And I could not imagine how I could be a good mother to my two children. And so I wanted to leave, but then I had to figure out how am I going to make this work? So back then, I was making a lot more money. I was actually making a lot more money than my initial goal. But my initial goal was that I wanted to make $2,000 a month. So if everything went my way and I hit my home run that month, I wanted to make $2,000 per month, every month, which is $24,000 a year. I was making more money than that with my MBA degree. But I was not willing to work the hours that I was working for the commute. So I was willing to work about 20 to 25 hours. I would grudgingly work up to 30 hours a week, but no more than that. So my ideal scenario was 20 hours a week, $2,000 a month, every month. So if you break it down to those units, you think to yourself, okay, well, how do I get the $2,000 a month? In the jewelry design space, I was designing jewelry. So I started a small jewelry company. I thought, you know what? I work with the numbers that are already out there because, you know, I didn't really have a whole lot of experience with direct mailing or anything else. So the industry standard at that time in 1989 was that we did a lot of direct mailing. And if you had a good mailing list, and again, I didn't have money to buy the mailing list. So I had to go beg people. I borrowed lists. Like I went downstairs. There used to be a whole industry called travel agencies. And those travel agencies had phone numbers to stores, places you can visit. They had gift shop managers and names and addresses. This would be corporate addresses, but their contact points were listed everywhere. So I actually would jot it down. And I mailed them. I just actually sent the mail and a stamp postage thing. So the industry standard was that return rate on your direct mail was something like 5 to 10%, depending on the quality of the mail, quality of your email list or mailing list, and also the quality of your product, how well they're matched. Okay. So I thought to myself, okay, well, I'm going to go on the low side. I'm going to figure out that there's going to be 5% return. Now, when they return it, what they didn't tell me was that when they actually respond, you still only have a 50% chance of closing the deal. They might be interested in you, but when they find out that you're brand new, you don't really have an office, they don't know who you are, they don't know if they can trust you. Trust you meaning maybe you can take their money, but sometimes they don't trust that you can actually deliver the goods. So if that happens, you don't really have a chance to close the deal. I thought, okay, well, if I sent out 50 letters every single day, okay, so I would get those lists, and I would type up those little letters because it was mostly form letters. It was pretty easy to do. And if I sent out 50 letters a day, that's 250 letters a week. And now those letters didn't take me more than a couple of hours a day. Okay, so 5 days a week, it's not a whole lot. The research for getting it took me some time, but you can see that if I got 10%, that's 25 people getting back to you. If I got 5%, it'll be like, you know, 12 or 13 people. And I can close, let's say, 5 of those people. So depending on my average price point, I thought, well, if I did that 4.5 weeks a month, I could make the $2,000 a month. That's possible. And if I couldn't do it, I would up the number. I would do 75 letters a day, which is a little bit more challenging within that 20-hour period. But I broke it down to very specific numbers. Okay, so how many hours are you willing to work? How much money do you need to make? And then you break it down how you think you can accomplish this. So it turns out that my conversion rate was very high. I actually got closer to 10% of the people responding, and I was able to close on more than 70% of them. So I actually made more than $2,000 a month from the very first month. I mean, that was a really amazing thing. In fact, within the first 18 months, I would say I hit a number like $1 million that I never even thought about a number like that. But we actually ended up, and I'll go over how we did it in the next few weeks, the segments about how you identify your target audience to how you market to them and all that. But right now, let's go back and focus on setting goals. So being very specific is really important, and breaking your goals down to as small units, smallest units you can possibly get. I mean, I can even get down to how many hours, which hours as you can. Also, when you are specific, you have to be very specific about the non-negotiables. What are your non-negotiables? What are the things that you don't want to negotiate at all? For me, 40-hour work week was a non-negotiable. I don't care if it's temporary or long-term. I didn't want to work 40 hours a week. When my kids are younger, they don't get sick neatly Monday through Friday. They don't need mommy 40 hours a week, 2 weeks from now. But you know what I mean? Like, you have to kind of put your foot down and work around their schedule. And I did that. So in the next category is measurable. Make sure that you can measure your progress. So obviously you can measure, am I making 2,000 bucks a month? Am I sending out so many letters a month or a week that justifies a 2,000 bucks a month, right? The other thing you have to figure out is measurable, meaning that you got to measure everything, your return rates, your conversion rates. If your conversion rate is 60, 70%, yeah, it's great. You're going to make $2,000, $4,000, $5,000, $10,000 a month. But if your conversion rate is only 2%, let's say you send out 250 letters and you get back something very small, 20 people calling you back or 10, and then you actually convert even lower, you're measuring those yardstick and you go, okay, well, this isn't working. So you either have to figure out how to enhance your marketing message, which we're going to get into later on, or you're going to have to, in your product category, maybe you can't get a list that's conveniently, ideally matched for you. So you have to work harder. Whatever it is, when you measure it, you know what to do. Meaning that if you're getting, let's say, 10% of the people responding, but you're only converting 1% of the 10% of the people, that means that when they give you a chance, you are not converting somehow, right? So you got to figure out, what am I doing wrong where I'm getting people interested in me, but I'm not converting? So it gets you back to where you can kind of track your progress, where you need to tweak, where you need to work harder, where you can actually work less. I mean, your conversion is 10%. Maybe you don't need to write that many letters because you only need 5%. But then maybe you need to work on your conversion method, right? So being measurable is very, very important. And then for me, like how many hours, I always track. Like, it's easy to think, hey, I'm working for myself, I'm my own boss. I can do this later. I can do this tomorrow. I just look in my calendar. I've already worked 6 hours this week. I can work another 14 hours sometime like on Friday. You just got to be disciplined and figure out which days you're going to work, how you continue to measure. And we're going to talk about accountability a little bit later. But it's really important that you measure every day your progress so that you can kind of really hone in on your technique on setting your goals and making sure that you give yourself the best chance of succeeding. Okay, now achievable. Also, make sure that your goals are achievable. When I say that, it's like you have to have a short-term goal, mid-term goal, and then a long-term goal. So if your long-term goal is to make a whole boatload of money and you want to be known in your industry and you want to help out everybody that's poor, all the pets that are suffering or whatever your goal is, well, that's like 10, 15 years from now. It could be your whole life. You might work your whole life on that. You may not mind it. For me, the journey is really the most beautiful thing. But what can you achieve in the next measurable time? Meaning, what can you achieve this week? What can you achieve today? So when you say, like for me, monthly goal of 2,000 bucks a month was very achievable. So instead of saying, I want to make $10,000 a month right from the get-go, I wanted to have a great foundation for my company so that every customer is real, that I can continue to build on. Because I want the customers to test me just to make sure that I like them, they like me. I didn't want a huge order. I wanted them to test me small so that there was not a whole lot of risk for them, not a whole lot of risk for me either. So make sure that your goals are achievable. So for me, I overachieved. Of course, next year I increased my goal a little bit. And then the following year, I increased even more. And I actually increased my goal for my monetary income, but I also reduced the number of hours I was willing to work. So I just became a lot more efficient over the years. So make sure that your goals are achievable and make sure that you have a way to kind of measure what you've achieved against your goal. Next category is being accountable. This is a huge thing. I mean, it's true with weight loss, it's true with bodybuilding fitness, it's true with making money. Everything has to do with accountability. You got to hold yourself accountable, especially when you work for yourself. You got every day, 24 hours a day. You can sleep so many hours. You can go to the beach. You can come back. It's really hard to be disciplined and say, I want to give my company the best chance to succeed. Some people overwork. Some people just work from 6 o'clock in the morning until midnight every day. They don't know when to stop and take a breather. And some people kind of like procrastinators and they don't do what they said they're going to do. They kind of like check the boxes or they think there's tomorrow. So make sure that you have a support system. I know that for me, in the first few weeks, things were kind of rough. Even when I did sell things, I didn't actually, when you invoice people back those days, I gave them like 30 to 45 day terms. They didn't actually pay me back for the first 30 days or more. So although I've already paid my vendors for manufacturing the stuff, and then I received it, I have to send it to my customer, and they had 30 to 45 days to pay me. So there was a gap between what I paid my vendors to what I was going to get paid. So there was times when I was short of money, and of course, I would never explain that to my parents or anything. But my mom would always ask me, so how did you do? How many letters did you send out today? It's kind of amazing that you keep sending out, you're able to like send out these letters every single day. It has to get really boring. She didn't really realize she was holding me accountable because sometimes I'm having lunch with her and I think to myself, oh, gee, I forgot I took off Monday and I should have made up for the Monday by sending out 100 letters today. Now I'm having lunch with her. So today's already shot. So that means this weekend, I'm going to cancel my time that I had with my husband. I was going to go with him to watch a movie or whatever. I'm just going to use those 3 hours and just pump out like 150 letters that I didn't do the last 2-3 days, right? Because it's really important. Sometimes when you send out a letter, like a postage stamp letter, that's all I had. We didn't have email back then. It goes over 3 or 4 days. And so even when they respond, some people would write back to you. Some people actually call you back on the telephone. It may be a week before you see any results from anybody, right? Even the people that are responding to you take a week. So that whole week is very excruciating for you to wait. You could get discouraged to say, oh, I don't want to do it, or why bother? I haven't heard from the last 1,000 people I sent a letter to. All those things could happen. But if somebody's being accountable and asking you, what have you done? What's working for you? What's not working for you? Is a trigger. You know, I didn't want my parents to, we didn't have a whole lot of money. My parents always tell me, I've heard it's really hard to start a business in America. I've heard that most businesses fail, but if anyone can do it, you can, because you're very persistent and you don't take no for an answer. So my parents would always tell me these things. Well, I'm sitting there knowing that I blew off. I used to watch Charlie's Angels and Mission Impossible like way back then when they were like a weekly series. And sometimes I'd go from episode to episode because I have nobody to talk to during the day. Everybody I knew was at work. So it was very easy to bleed into one thing to the next. I wasn't actually helping out my family and I wasn't helping out my company at that point. So being accountable or having somebody hold you accountable is very important. And then the idea that whatever goals you set is sustainable so that it could be repeatable on demand. So if you say, you know what, $2,000 a month, that's something I could do with my eyes closed. That's something that I could repeat every single month. I can count on it. That's my safety net. Then you can up your goal. So being able to repeat that goal so that it's something that's doable, sustainable, and repeatable every month, every year, so that you can actually work with what's working and continue to build on that is really important. And then lastly, make sure that every goal you set is time sensitive. So for me, I started out with monthly goals. Once a month, I would check how many letters I sent and I would check how much money I got. And then when I broke it down to weekly, it actually added the urgency. I did it. Like, I needed to make $400 to $500 a week. And I thought, well, I didn't make it because what I did last week is a lot closer than what I did last month in your memory. And I would think, oh, geez, last week I had a 0 week. Nobody bought anything. So I better like really get on the stick here. And I need to sell like three things, at least find three customers, even if they buy very few things, so that I have a little bit of a cushion for next week, just in case I have two bad weeks in a row or something like that. So making sure that that's time sensitive someday in the future, it's this week that's tied to this action. So again, it's really important that you follow this goal setting system, because when you do this, as you can see, that $2,000 about even back then, a lot of people didn't make the money. I actually made more money. But what's important to me is that I was able to make the $2,000 a month by working 20 hours a week by myself with no outside help. I didn't have any help. Like, I didn't have anybody assistance or anything. I did buy like 1-800 number, which was like $200 a month. So that added to my expense. But being able to do this every single month, and I was able to do more than this every single month. So I hope this lesson about goal setting has been very helpful to you. Next week, we're going to go into the opportunities you have. What's the best opportunity you have to monetize in a big way with the least amount of effort and the lowest risk factor possible financially and time-wise and career path-wise? So I hope you enjoyed this week. Next week, we're going to pick up the pace a little bit and go down to the whole 7-week program. And then I have 3 weeks of bonus. After you reach all that, I give you a little bit extra information on how to scale your business. A lot of the basic stuff about building websites, that's one of the few things that you do need today that I didn't need back in, 1989. So anyways, I hope you enjoyed this episode. Again, this whole series of episodes was kind of created by me to you based on the audience request. So many of you have written to me, want to know how I did it personally. And if I would ever share it, of course I would share it. That's why I started this podcast, so that I could help other people succeed. Because in my family, my great, 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 I don't know how many greats, going back to 1300 or something, because we have like family registry that go back that many years. It's always been a family belief that successful people don't have to talk about how successful they are. Successful people go out and help other people succeed. So that's what I want to do. I want to be successful and I want to create a lot of successful people. So I will share everything. So I would appreciate any feedback you have. And also, I would greatly appreciate you sharing this episode with at least one friend so that they can benefit from it. So we can all be elevated and our voices can be elevated and amplified. So until next time, please have a great week and remember to stay healthy and happy. And also remember that happiness is a choice, and I hope you make great choices next week. Thank you.
You've been listening to Million Dollar Passion, where we turn dreams into reality and passion into profit. According to ancient Chinese proverb, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. Congratulations on taking that first step today. For more information on how Victoria can help you turn your business idea into $1 million and to download Victoria's free ebook on passion-based business ideas, visit milliondollarpassion.com. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review the show on your favorite podcast player.